Ignition sequence start.
The Elijah has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul puts it up.
The conductor.
Goes to Hart. On Thompson steps right. Shoots for the win. A three. He got it.
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake. It's going to be scary. Not for us.
Westbrook gets a screen from Capella. Russ going to go to the lane, go off the window for two more.
Westbrook with 43 to the lane. Floater.
Capella for a two-hand throwdown.
In Russ, we trust. Man, never thought I would ever hear myself uttering those words. But here we are. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're not already doing so, please feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast, and hey, if you got the time, maybe leave us a review, drop some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me at JT Gatlin on Twitter, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. The Rockets beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 131-124 on the back of another incredible performance by none other than Russell Westbrook. Honestly, his performance as of late has been nothing less of unreal. It's almost to the point that I'm genuinely concerned that with the downtrend in Harden's play and the uptick in Westbrook's production, that maybe Mike D'Antoni, who has been known as the point guard whisperer throughout his career, maybe he's only capable of doing it, or maybe not point guard whisperer, but guard whisperer. Maybe he can only do it with one guard at a time. Maybe that's his secret. Maybe he's got some like secret little power crystal somewhere that he's, you know, hidden in the Toyota Center locker room, and he can only channel its energies into one guard at a time. And he just said, you know what? Harden got his for a couple months. I'm just going to focus the crystal's energies onto Russell Westbrook. And that's what's happening. The guy is playing insane basketball. Over his last 8 games played, so basically every game that he's played in since the start of the 2020 year, he's averaging 31.9 points, 8.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists, a couple steals, just all in 36 minutes, well, almost 37 minutes a game, on 24 field goal attempts, shooting 53% from the floor, and he has lowered his three-point attempts. He's only averaging 2.4 three-point attempts in 2020. And over the last handful of games, he's only taken one three-pointer. He didn't take a three in the Timberwolves game again. He did not take a single three-pointer in this game. He was 16-27 from the floor for 45 points, a Rockets career high for Russell Westbrook. 45 points, 6 boards, 10 assists. He had a steal, had a few turnovers, but that's nothing big. 13 of 13 at the charity stripe. Russell Westbrook is becoming an incredible free throw shooter. It's happening. All the great things are happening to Russ, and it just sucks that it's happening at the same time that Harden has been going through a shooting slump. To think that if Harden had continued his incredible MVP-level play and we were getting this version of Russell Westbrook, the Rockets would be sitting on like the 2 seed right now. But something has happened to James Harden, and we will get on that more in the second segment. But right now, I want to focus on Russ and focus on his incredible play. I mean, it's absolutely insane what he's doing. Russ put up 45 points, which is the most points scored by a guard without attempting a three since D-Wade did it back in 2007. He had 48 points against the Magic in 07 without attempting a single three. That's the level at which Russell Westbrook is currently playing at. Thank goodness for Russ, because if he didn't step it up and start playing like... And this is... The unique thing is this isn't even MVP Russell Westbrook. Because I had a few Thunder fans who chimed in and said that he didn't play this way necessarily with all the post play and, you know, the way that he's, you know, the shots that he's, looking to take, which, I have some audio from Westbrook that we will actually get some post game audio from the T-Wolves game that we'll hear here in just a second. But he's maturing. He is choosing his spots better on the court. He has completely decided, you know what, threes, they're not for me. I'm just not going to take them. I'm not shooting a good percentage this year. It doesn't make sense for me to take them. I'm just not going to take threes. And when he takes mid-range shots, it's because he wants to take them. He's not just simply taking what the defense is giving him, because there's plenty of times that the defense is sagging off of Russ and he's still not settling for the mid-range. Russ from earlier this season or previous years would probably settle for those mid-range shots or would probably settle for, you know, walk-up, pull-up three-pointers. But he's not doing that. This stretch that he's been on since about early December, he has just slowly but surely changed his game for the betterment of this team. He's incorporated so much post-play, just absolutely bullying opposing guards and getting everything that he wants out of it and generating great offense for the team, generating great looks for guys like Eric Gordon, who Eric Gordon finished the game with 27 points, a season high for Eric Gordon. He had back-to-back season highs because I want to say he had 25 last game, 24, 25. So Eric Gordon has been on a tear too, which we'll get more on him in segment two. But Russ's play has elevated everybody else's on the team except for that of James Harden. And I don't think that it's not, you know, only one of them can play well. It's not, oh, Russ is playing well, that's why James Harden's playing bad. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Harden is in a slump, and it's a significant slump. Is there an explanation for it? I don't know. If you guys have thoughts on why Harden is in this slump, please hit me up on Twitter. Tell me why you think James... In fact, I want your most ridiculous takes as to why James Harden is in a shooting slump. I want to hear the most outlandish... I don't want to hear, oh, he's, you know... I want to hear the most outlandish takes you guys have. So hit me with all of them. I'll retweet every single one of them. I want to just hear the craziest stories. Because, let's face it, it's James Harden. He will get out of this shooting slump eventually. And when he does, Westbrook, with the play that he's putting out right now, those two are going to terrorize the league. It's just about getting the two of them on the same page. Once they're playing this level, you know, once Westbrook continue, or if Westbrook continues to play this level of basketball and James Harden comes back to play anywhere near the level that he was for the majority of the season, I don't see any issue with this team being able to take on anybody else in the Western Conference, especially because their defense has obviously picked it up a little bit. They're focusing harder. They're just trying harder on that end of the basketball. They really are. Clint Capella is a big part of that. Clint had 5 blocks tonight. I say tonight. It was yesterday. Anyways, he had 5 blocks against the T-Wolves. That's huge. That's important. So I've kind of you know, gone off the beaten path here a little bit talking about James and talking about Clint. But let's get back to Westbrook, and we're going to hear a little bit from him right now, his post-game thoughts about his shot selection and a few other things right now.
I'm always, the game always tell you what to do. I always believe in that. If my team needs me to do certain things on the floor, whatever that is, I'm always make sure I'm prepared and make sure my mind is in the right place to be able to do that.
You get into the rim a lot lately, really, for about 3 weeks, but tonight especially. What were you seeing to see those opportunities?
Just reading and reacting, quick attacks, finding ways to better get in the teeth of the defense, whether I'm making plays for myself or finding ways to better get my teammates open shots.
The Timberwolves want to allow mid-range jumpers, or you like to take a lot of those shots. Yeah. Were they kind of giving you the space to take those shots?
Yeah, they were, but I was only taking shots I wanted to take, and that's me just maturing in this game and figuring out my spots and shooting the ball when I'm ready to.
So there you have it from Russell Westbrook, the man of the hour himself. Again, 45 points, 10 assists, 6 boards, 13 of 13 from the charity stripe, 16 of 27 overall, all in 38 minutes in a win over the Timberwolves, 131-124. Great win for the Rockets. They've won 2 in a row now. Yeah, it's the Timberwolves, but they need this win, especially with the upcoming schedule, with the set of back-to-back games against Denver and against Utah, one of which Russell Westbrook will likely sit out. It's important that you get this win. It's important you get the wins that you're supposed to get. So we'll keep talking about this win. We'll talk about Eric Gordon. We'll talk about Harden's struggles. All of that in the upcoming segments. But first, a quick word from our friends over at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time for you to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, you can try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets 124. Can't even talk. It's ridiculous. 124 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Team improves to 28-16 on the season. They are still in the sixth spot, unfortunately, in the very tightly contested Western Conference. But they have room to improve. And they need to do it on this road trip. They really do. They can't afford to drop any of these games. They really can't. These two games upcoming, especially against Denver and Utah, I would be hard-pressed to imagine sitting Westbrook out one of these two games with as well as he has been playing and with the struggles that James Harden has had. And on top of James Harden's struggles, he took a knee to the thigh last night against Karl-Anthony Towns. Towns' knee hit James Harden in the thigh, and James was out of the game. So not only did he, you know, miss a majority of his shots, he went missing from the actual game, right? He left for about 6 minutes. Comes back into the game to start the fourth quarter after running, you know, after sitting on the sidelines, kind of stretching it out, went back to the locker room, and then he was on the exercise bike on the sidelines trying to keep that hamstring warm, trying to loosen it up so that he could come back into the game and be of some help to the team. And unfortunately, he wasn't. Now, he did what he needed to do in the fact that he came back into the game and he just sat in the corner and he was at least a threat to catch and shoot the ball. So much so that the Minnesota defense, still had to honor that James Harden was in the game and spreading the floor for Russ to continue doing his thing. Russ had 15 of his 45 points in that final 8 minute stretch of the fourth quarter. You want to talk about taking over a game? That's exactly what Russell Westbrook did. Took over the game down the line. With James Harden injured and not playing well, Russell Westbrook took over. And that's not why the Rockets got Russell Westbrook, right? They didn't get him on the off chance that James was going to, you know, turn into a normal human being. They didn't get him on the off chance that James Harden was going to suddenly forget how to play basketball. They got Russ to pair up a former MVP with another former MVP because historically, things have looked pretty good when you take two MVPs and put them on the court together. The most recent pairing of that, obviously, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Wow, I am all kinds of tongue-tied today. The most recent example of that, won two rings together, almost a third, right? If it weren't for injuries. So it's obviously a recipe for success. Now, there's other things that have to go into that, right? The team has to play defense. The team has to get contributions from its role players, which they absolutely did in this game. Eric Gordon had 27 points off the bench. Eric Gordon, 27 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. Did have a turnover. Shot 6 of 13 from behind the 3-point arc in this one. Austin Rivers, 16 points off the bench. 2 of 3 from behind the arc. 7 of 8 overall. Daniel House Jr. even had a respectable game. 8 points, 5 boards, a couple steals, had a block. Played some decent defense. 2 of 4 from behind the arc. The bench brigade for this Rockets team actually came out and had a hell of a game. The bench played better than all the starters together, except for maybe Westbrook. And I guess you can count Capella in there. But McLemore struggled this game, just 3 points, 1 of 4 three-point shooting. PJ Tucker, 0 of 2 from behind the arc, just 2 points, a couple free throws that he hit. He did have some boards, and PJ actually had 5 assists. They were moving the ball around well. And that was a big part of it, is there were multiple sequences in this game where the Rockets actually showed significant ball movement. Now, there were some times where the ball movement was incredible and it still resulted in a miss. You're not always going to hit the shot at the end of it, but it's great to see that the team was actually kind of moving things around and they weren't relying. And now part of that was because James Harden was so ice cold, right? James was ice cold and then James missed a stretch of the game, so they didn't rely on the ISO ball as much as they normally do. And let's face it, Mike D'Antoni isn't a guy, you know, if you look back historically at Mike D'Antoni's teams, he's not a guy who prides himself on focusing on isolation basketball. What he prides himself on as a coach is being a coach who empowers his players to do what they do best. And what James Harden does best is he's the greatest isolation scorer in history. Now, maybe the Rockets and James and MDA have taken that a little bit too far. Maybe James has become a bit too ISO favorite? No, that's not the right word. Let's go ISO heavy. There we go. Maybe he's become a bit too ISO heavy. Maybe he's fallen in love a bit too much with that three-point shot, the step back three, as opposed to, you know, kind of getting the rest of the offense involved. And we were talking about it on Twitter the other day that you can make a case that James Harden's best year as a Houston Rocket wasn't his MVP campaign or wasn't even, you know, the stretch this season where he was putting up insane numbers. But it was, in fact, that 16-17 season, MDA's first year here in Houston, where James averaged, you know, what was it, 28, 29 points or something and 11 assists a game. Because he was, not only was he lethal himself, but he was also getting so many other players involved on offense that Rockets team was more lethal offensively than this version. Now, I don't have the advanced stats in front of me. I could be, you know, and I'm going based off eye test right now. This conversation is eye test alone. I don't know what, you know, the offensive ratings of each team off the top of my head. But you can make that case. You can make a case that James is at his best when he is facilitating and incorporating the rest of the team in the offense. And I kind of believe that. Because look, and this is a stat that I pulled up the other day. Throughout the entire MDA era, the Rockets are actually 72-32, so almost a 700 win percentage, in games where Harden has 20 or fewer field goal attempts and 8 or more assists. And then that number actually swaps around a little bit better. It goes to 21-8, so 0.724 win percentage if you move the field goal metric down to 15 field goal attempts or fewer, which kind of supports the idea that when James isn't necessarily forcing as many shots up, when he's not focusing just on scoring, and when he's actively trying to facilitate and get the rest of the team involved, kind of, you know, quote unquote, letting the game come to him, the Rockets are at their deadliest. And I think, again, I think the evidence kind of supports that. But in this one, again, James struggled, Westbrook stepped up, and basically the entire bench stepped up. You know, really the only players that struggled were Tucker, Harden, and McLemore. But everybody else played solid games. Clint Capella, again, I mentioned his 5 blocks earlier. He had 18 points, 9 boards. He was very active throughout the game. Clint did have a moment near the end of the game where, you know, it was a little concerning. He came up limping near the end of the game, which, you know, I think it was probably that heel that was bothering him. I didn't see anything from Jonathan Fagan or from Kelly Eco immediately after the game that said anything regarding his injury. So I'm hoping it's nothing serious. He did wind up playing the rest of the game. He didn't get subbed out or anything, but he definitely looked a little hobbled for a possession or two right there at the end. Which brings me to my point about Isaiah Hartenstein, who still can't seem to get any minutes. In a game where there is no excuse this time, you had Karl Anthony Towns, you had Gorgui Dieng, you had plenty of reasons to play Isaiah Hartenstein and maybe not run Capella for 34 minutes. I still think that Capella playing with a bruised heel is, you know, not great. Again, PJ Tucker played 36 minutes and was, you know, largely maybe not a net negative, but not producing a whole lot. So maybe you cut down on some minutes for PJ, cut down on some minutes for Capella. There's no reason for Isaiah Hartenstein to not be getting any burn. It is ridiculous that he just can't find playing time. Like, I'm sorry, there's no excuse for it. There really isn't. There's no excuse to be playing an 8-man rotation in January when James Harden is struggling, when Ben McLemore is struggling, when PJ Tucker is struggling, when Clint Capella is playing hurt, when Westbrook's playing 38 minutes. Yes, Westbrook had a phenomenal game, but you're supposed to be load managing him. If he's sitting out the second nights of back-to-backs, then maybe you look to keep his minutes a little bit lower in these other games as well, rather than run him ragged in every game that he can play. Kind of defeats the purpose of load managing him, right? I shouldn't get too heated. The Rockets won a game. They've won 2 games in a row, in fact, which is pretty nice. Pretty nice that the Rockets are back to winning basketball, and it's great that Eric Gordon has been on the tear that he's been on. In fact, Eric Gordon, since he's been back as a Houston Rocket, not as a Houston Rocket, whatever, since he came back from, you know, his little early season absence, he's played 11 games. He's actually averaging 17.5 points per game. His free throw percentage is not great, shooting only 65% from the line, but he's shooting 40% from behind the arc, just 40% from the floor. So on 14 field goal attempts a game, playing about 30 minutes. But that's the 3-point percentage is very encouraging because that's exactly what Westbrook needs to do. Not Westbrook. Wow. Gordon. There we go. I need coffee, apparently. Anyways, that's exactly what Gordon has to do in this offense. Gordon has to be the punch off the bench for this Rockets team to succeed. And that's what he was in this game. In a game where James Harden simply just did not have it. I don't even think, haven't gone through Harden's stat line. It was actually just 12 points, missed all six of his three-point attempts, just 3 of 13 from the floor, did hit all six of his free throws, he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Harden had 3 blocks, surprisingly. 3 turnovers. But Harden did not have a great game. So it was important that the bench stepped up and did exactly what they did to give the Rockets a chance to win this one. And even though it was kind of closely contested there at the end, they came away with the win. Minnesota made a push, and the Rockets responded. And that's huge. That's important from this team, and it's a great sign moving forward. We'll have the final segment here in just one moment, so don't go anywhere. And we're back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Talking about the Rockets' 131-124 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Ball club moves to 28-16 on the season. Timberwolves fall to 15-30, just 6-16 at home. It's actually the Rockets' 13th road win of the season. Rockets are 13-9 on the road. They've done a pretty decent job of protecting home court, but have been so on the road. Now, I think that kind of, you know, one of the things that I noticed in this game is obviously we've been pining for Robert Covington as a potential future Rocket, for him to make his return to wearing a Rockets jersey. But he didn't play so hot in this game. Just 4 of 13 shooting overall, 2 of 8 from behind the arc. He had 7 rebounds. He had an assist, a couple blocks. And maybe he'd look better in a Rocket system where he would be getting, you know, absolutely wide open three-pointers thanks to the attention that James Harden and Russell Westbrook draw on a nightly basis. But he didn't look phenomenal. He didn't blow me away. His defense on James at times was pretty good, but that can also be attributed to the funk that James is in, I think. You know, I think that especially that point in the fourth quarter for about 3-4 minutes before Westbrook came back into the game, where Harden just was not moving well at all due to the thigh injury that sidelined him for about 6 minutes. I mean, he just couldn't get by Covington. Covington was able to kind of close him off pretty easily. But I think that the Rockets, and I think that everybody's kind of at this consensus where there has to be a move that needs to be made to get the Rockets one more rotation player. Look, I clamor for Hartenstein quite a bit, but here's the thing. Hartenstein probably shouldn't get playoff minutes. He shouldn't. I don't see the Rockets playing two legitimate bigs in the playoffs. Now, maybe if you had spent the entire season kind of grooming him, you could maybe get him to a point where you would be comfortable with him playing significant playoff minutes or even just 10 to 15 minutes a night come the playoffs, and that could be maybe your 9-man rotation, you know, the current 8-man that they have plus Hartenstein. But I don't really see that as a possibility. I think this team has to bring in a forward. There were reports by Shams Charania of The Athletic saying that the Rockets are aggressively pursuing a forward before the February 7th trade deadline, which is promising. I'll believe it when I see it. They have avenues to acquire forwards right now. Morris from Detroit comes to mind, although they might be trying to move Andre Drummond before they decide that they want to, you know, explore a trade or, you know, just unloading the contract of Morris. But he's an option. Obviously, Robert Covington has been tied in rumors to the Houston Rockets. That trade would be a little bit more complicated to facilitate, especially without giving up one of the Rockets' top 8 rotation guys, which were the 8 guys that played in the game last night. But I think that if you can make a move, if the Rockets and Morey and Tillman Fertitta can make a move to acquire a starting caliber wing without giving up one of their top 8, which is easier said than done, I will admit. They do have some first-round draft picks that they can throw around. They've got the 2020. They've also got the 2022 first-round draft pick, as well as second-round draft picks, cash considerations. They've got things that they can use to acquire a starting caliber player. Just depends on who that guy would be. But at this point, I don't feel great about Ben McLemore starting at all, and I really don't feel great about Daniel House Jr. starting. I just don't feel phenomenal about either of those guys. They both have their pros, and they both have their cons. I think that if you can get a starting caliber wing to plug in alongside the Rockets' current starting lineup and then move McLemore / House, which currently it's McLemore in the starting lineup, move that person to the bench, that gives you a competent 9-man rotation, and then ideally, maybe you get D'Antoni to play Hartenstein a little bit more during the regular season to ease up on the minutes for Clint Capella, as well as the Tuck Wagon lineup minutes to get Tucker some rest headed into the playoffs. 34-year-old PJ Tucker, who has a freaking shoulder sting. I think that's a solid lineup. I think that's a lineup that can actually produce some wins once James Harden gets out of his funk and gets back to, you know, being the James Harden that we all know and love. I think that's what this team needs. Because on any given night, now, here's the thing. McLemore had a night where he struggled, right? But he's also had nights where he couldn't miss from behind the arc. PJ Tucker struggled, sure. But PJ Tucker's also had nights where he performs really well. And this kind of folds into the thing that I said the other day, and I've said this a lot, right? The Rockets' recipe for success, at least offensively, is that two of three things have to happen. Two of three things have to happen, right? Harden has to have a good game, Westbrook has to have a good game, or a combination of the role players, probably about two or three different role players, have to have good games. And that's what happened in this one. Westbrook had a phenomenal game, Harden sucked, and the role players collectively did a pretty decent job. So that was your two of three. And look, they won the game. If all three things happen, then you have blowout wins, like, you know, the Hawks, or like against Philadelphia, or against the Nuggets, or, you know, the games where you come out and you look really phenomenal. Those are the games where everybody's contributing. And for obvious reason, if everybody's contributing, if everybody's hitting shots, if everything looks good offensively, then yeah, you're going to have a runaway win. But those are the win conditions for this version of the Houston Rockets. And right now, thankfully, Russell Westbrook has picked up his game to a point where he's just not missing anything. Again, 16 for 27 is a phenomenal night for Russell Westbrook, efficiency-wise. 13 of 13 from the charity stripe, not taking a single three. I can't say enough good things about how he has grown from where we've seen him at the start of the season. Obviously wasn't healthy, had the dislocated fingers, really worked himself into the offense, and got to a point where he realized exactly what he needed to do for this team to win. And now it's up to James Harden to figure out whatever's going on with him, whether it's something personal, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whatever it may be. There's no report of an injury. He had the minor toe sprain that held him out of the Pelicans game a while back, but apart from that, there hasn't been anything major that has, you know, popped up that any of the reporters have mentioned. So I don't think it's something physical with James. I think it's something mental. But again, I want y'all's suggestions. Whatever you think is going on with James Harden, you guys let me know, because I'm interested. I want to see what y'all's wild fan theories are regarding James Harden. But again, a really good win, especially ahead of the pair of games against the Denver Nuggets, which is an early afternoon tip-off on Sunday. 2:30 tip-off on Sunday, which is, you know, super weird to have. And then straight away, all the way up to Salt Lake City the following evening. So really tough road back-to-back. Again, I'm hard-pressed to imagine that Westbrook will sit out one of these games. Harden, we still don't know what he's going to do. Harden may have to sit out the Denver Nuggets game with his bruised thigh. So that hasn't been reported yet. We'll hear about that hopefully soon, as this pod is being recorded Saturday morning. But this is a tough stretch. They got to wrap up this stretch strong, and then they come back. They have a short little homestand. But the Rockets, you know, they're not in a great spot seeding-wise. They're sitting at the sixth seed. They lost a bunch of games in a row, and they've got to make up the ground. If they don't want to be a lower-seeded team come playoff time, they've got to win these games. They're not necessarily must-win games, but it would be really nice if they could come away with some Ws against the Nuggets, against the Jazz, and then you got to get a payback win against the Blazers on the end of this road trip. You really have to. If you lost at home against the Blazers, you got to go into, what is it, Moda Center? Is it still Moda Center? Maybe they renamed it. Whatever. I'm going to call it Moda Center. You got to go into Moda Center and you got to take care of business and take care of a team that's not even in the playoff picture right now. So I think that's where we will wrap things up for today. Good win for the Rockets. Impressive outing by Russell Westbrook. He continues to be the Rockets' best player throughout the calendar year of 2020. And I hope that changes. I hope James Harden comes back into form and figures out what's going on with him. And then we have James Harden and Russell Westbrook, Batman and Superman, doing their thing. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. And if you want more content before our next show, I'm on Twitter at JT Gatlin. Our show is on there, of course, at Locked On Rockets. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. There's the website, LockedOnRockets.com. And of course, the email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Check us out at all those different places. But for this Saturday, January 25th episode, this is where we break. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.